heirs of the Ford Foundation, Rockefellers, Carnegies, and the rest of these chumps. So you whine all day about white supremacy, but then the very essence of your nature, where you're agitating for, is just another form of supremacy. And it all really, you're just all just disciples of the Talmud. You've just basically transferred the Talmudic ideology that the rabbis and the Pharisees and the rest of them, the synagogue of Satan, have done for themselves. And you looked at it, you took the template, and you put it onto your own people. And then all of a sudden, I got to fight evil white supremacy, but I'm a part of a group called La Raza, the race. I mean, you're a bunch of turds. All of you are turds, and you're pathetic. And hopefully your little designs come to naught. And hopefully people in the alphabet agencies, I know you're listening. You torpedo my program. You play with it all the time. Last week, you jerked with it. I mean, when are you guys going to crush the nonprofits? When are you going to crush these foundations? You had this one senator that wanted to do an investigation way back decades ago into the big nonprofit foundations that are funding all the communist, Marxist, revolutionary activity in our country. And it died because they're so powerful. They were about to crush all these chump politicians. And all of our Congress, Paul Ryan. And I mean, look what they did over Trump pardoning Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Okay. So these Marxist radicals, they put Sheriff Joe in contempt for enforcing the law, immigration law. Barack Obama and Eric Holder, Loretta Lynch, all the communist douchebags that have infiltrated our government and the alphabet agencies. And then we've got all these people in the alphabet agencies that aren't willing to, to crush the Marxist Bolshevik revolutionary activity in our own country. I mean, look, we know there's a battle going on. I don't want to take a crap on you guys that are trying to do the heavy lifting, but it's time to get ruthless. It's time to move those of us that are like, you know, founding fathers, patriot, hardcore types. It's time for you guys in up there in D.C. to move it to the next level, because the Marxists, they're going for broke here. We've got a window here, like I was reading earlier, where it's time to move on the communists. I mean, when I joined the military in the late 80s, I mean, they really put me through the ringer about crap I didn't even know about. All the weathermen crap and the Communist Party crap. I was like, dude, I'm 18 years old. I didn't know about any of it. But now they've backed off on all that. You can be a whack job leftist. I want to overthrow the country. And you can join the military now, folks. This is how loony the whole thing is. And so we need, what's left of people that care about the country, we need you to move on the Marxists. And, you know, you got Marxist mayors, you got Marxist governors, you've got Marxist senators. Like, oh, let me get through this here, because we're already in the fourth hour here, and I want to thank Ken for going over, and we're in overdrive now, as people call it. Now, look. Tom Perez is head of the DNC, and I didn't get to this last week. He's Jesuit trained, okay? Hispanic, Jesuit trained, liberation theology, social justice warrior. Social justice, okay? Luigi Taparelli. This is the guy, he's a Jesuit. He's the one that gets credit for the coining and really, I'm not saying coining it, but really putting it into the common vernacular of social justice. Is a Jesuit, okay? This fifth column that works right alongside the organized Jewish community, the Kosher Nostra, the far left, the Bolsheviks. So you got the Jesuit, a whole faction of them that work right hand in hand as a fifth column with basically the rabbis, the Pharisees, synagogue of Satan, whatever you want to call them, okay? You get into these encyclicals, Rerum Novarum is one of them, and Quadragesimo Anno, and this gets into this social justice stuff, and these are papal encyclicals. The thing is, Terry McAuliffe, okay, the governor of Virginia, with this whole Charlottesville thing, this guy, Jesuit-trained Georgetown apparatchik, okay, just like General John Kelly, Trump's chief of staff, okay, Jesuit-trained Georgetown apparatchik, all right? So you see the hand of the Jesuits here on our government. Virginia, Maryland, Virgin Mary. You get into the Carroll family, and you get into the writings of Lincoln before he was assassinated, talking about Baltimore being the stronghold of the Jesuits, knowing they were going to take an attempt on his life there, but he escaped because he went incognito. You got to read The Secret History of the Jesuits by Edmund Paris. If you haven't, you're missing some of this. There's a lot out here with the elements of the Jesuit order, Knights of the Golden Circle, John Wilkes Booth, the Surratt family with the killing of Lincoln. But then you get into the killing of Kennedy, who was a Roman Catholic, Irish Roman Catholic, Joe Kennedy being a Knight of Malta. But yet John going off the reservation, going up against the Federal Reserve, going against David Ben-Gurion about the Dimona nuclear plant, firing Alan Dulles, smashing the CIA. He had every power, you know, base in the world against him. And so we see some elements, let's just say, with Trump and George Washington, Trump and Abraham Lincoln, and Trump and JFK. Now, is this all theater, and is Trump completely compromised, and he's, you know, a buddy of Jeffrey Epstein, and he's a pedo, and he, all the rest of it? Like, some people want to throw Trump through the gravy train and drag him through the mud, or is Trump trying to say, look, I'm trying to back this off a bit? You know, you guys got to decide. Tim Kaine, okay, Terry McAuliffe, Tom Perez, head of the DNC, radical La Raza type. Get into Tom Perez's background. Get into Terry McAuliffe, Jesuit Georgetown background. Now get into Tim Kaine, the unauthorized biography of Tim Kaine, senator from where? Virginia. Son is a member of Antifa, was arrested. Tim Kaine's son, Antifa. Type it in. Do some research. Daniel Hopsicker, who's a pretty far left wing, he did the unauthorized biography of Tim Kaine, his CIA operations down in Honduras. CIA, Pechenik, all them Catholics in action, Wild Bill Donovan, OSS, Knight of Malta, the Carrolls, Washington, D.C., the Jesuits. I mean, there's Jewish hands on the founding of the Republic, and there's Jesuit hands on the founding of the Republic. And if you're not looking at both sides of this, just like if you're not looking at both sides of, you know, World War II and the hand of the Jesuits and then the hand of the organized Bolshevik, basically rabbis, the Jewish killers that did the Holodomor, the Bolshevik Revolution, the Maoist Revolution in China, the Khmer Rouge, the whole thing. There's the hand of the Jesuits in here, too, with Stalin. Stalin had some contact with the Jesuits as well. And so, you know, the thing is, these are fifth columns that fight sometimes. Sometimes they're in bed together. Father Dennis Fahey has some really good works you need to get into. The Kingship of Christ and the Conversion of the Jewish Nation. Very fascinating stuff we got to get into here, but what I'm saying is this Charlottesville thing, this was – Mr. Producer, get clip two ready real quick. Here's Pechenik on Richard Spencer. And look, Richard Spencer was married to this Russian chick who is a translator for Alexander Dugin, who Jones has had on a lot lately. He's a fellow traveler of Matt Heimbach over here at the Traditionalist Workers' Party. And this kind of pro-white underbelly here with the Russians. But let's go to clip two with Pechenik on Richard Spencer.
Media that gets people like Dr. Steve Pechenik on to break down the, I would say, collusion I would say behind-the-door collusion between the mayor of Charlottesville and Richard Spencer. Dr. Pechenik, where you left off.
I would agree with you. There is a clear collusion. Both of the men were trained in the same place as the University of Virginia. They're both highly educated. They're both they both owe their allegiance to their specific parties. In the case of Spencer, he just made up some nonsensical party called the Nazis or the alternative right or alternative media. He didn't create the expression alternative media. Neither did Hillary. It was really created here on the Alex Jones Show when we did it about 12, 14 years ago, where we were the new right or the new Republicans because we broke away on 9/11. That's what nobody really understood. This is a still carryover in terms of the Republican Party, or we who were disillusioned with the Bushes and others, that we wanted to have our own specific party. And Alex.
Well, here's where Pechenik's running PSYOPs. Spencer went with the term alt-right. Now, alt-right was actually created by some Jewish thinker, okay? And then Spencer picked it up, okay? And then you get the Ramsey Pauls and the Jared Taylors, and you get the rest of these characters that come into the alt-right as not necessarily a Nazi movement, but a pro-white movement. And look, there's plenty of players in the alt-right that are not compromised, but let's just say when you get into any of these movements, always people at the ground level are not the leaders, and they're not compromised by, let's say, deep state or counterintelligence and the rest of it. It's the people that are leaders that they approach, they compromise, or they were compromised from the beginning. And this is what we have to realize. Resume that.
It was really created here on the Alex Jones Show when we did it about 12, 14 years ago, where we were the new right or the new Republicans because we broke away on 9/11. That's what nobody really understood. This is a still carryover in terms of the Republican Party, or we who were disillusioned with the Bushes and others, that we wanted to have our own specific party, and Alex was the forefront of it. In terms of the left, I mean, they have been pathetic. It's still part of the Podesta group. It's still part of the fascism of the left. When you create a tight group and they're always working to create agitation, propaganda, that's the beginning of fascism on both sides. And probably the closest analogy historically to this would be the Weimar Republic in the 1920s, when you had the fascist left and the so-called fascist right coming together. And in between, you had this painter or a theoretical painter who didn't get into art school named Hitler, who came to power. Now, this is highly contrived. Whoever's involved has to be involved with some of the elements of the FBI and some of the elements of the CIA. Why do I say that? Richard Spencer lives in Arlington, Virginia. He was married to a former Russian or Russian-American. The Russian-American, it turns out, studied U.S. foreign policy, international relations, and guess what? The Soviet Union. By definition, she was and still is probably the CIA. In return, you have Podesta Group, you've got Singer, or Signer, as he calls himself. He was involved in a lot of education as well, University of Virginia, as was Spencer. So both come out of the same background, intellectual, spoiled, elitist. None of them have ever really worked. None of them created a job. And both decided to get into the business of agitation propaganda. In turn, you have the FBI, who's completely penetrated the KKK. There's no notion there is any KKK. As usual, Alex is correct. And years ago, I remember Maurice Deese of the Southern Poverty Law Center, whom I helped out about 20, 30 years ago and gave him some operatives and some money to tell him to infiltrate it. And also we told the FBI to get rid of the KKK. So the KKK doesn't exist. And as Alex pointed out, the absurdity of having a black or brown individual in the KKK makes it even more absurd. The fact that you have men dressed up in full combat gear walking with flames is also absurd. So this was all highly contrived by whatever, the deep state, the FBI, the agency, in order to create strategic tension. Now, Trump handled this very well. Where the problem lies for Trump is very simply that he's answering all the questions.
Now, look, there's probably some truth here with, this whole thing. I smelled a rat with Charlottesville right the day after it happened, and you guys heard it. Last week, of course, I couldn't have my program on, but let me just say this. The whole thing with the wreck and this charger, and there's this all this stuff floating around out here on YouTube about basically the Charlottesville Zapruder film. This Honda that was parked and it was empty. There's really smacks of a let's say a contrived synthetic event here with this charger and the packing in of this crowd. If you look at the overheads where this crowd got all packed into this part of Charlottesville, and then right around the entire, you know, near geographical area, it was empty. So the whole thing was set up. These people were guided by operatives. And it's so hard for us to grasp the fact that it could happen like this. But folks, we're living in a I don't want to say a synthetic reality, but when we're talking about events like this that are covered by these questionable characters that have their phones or cameras out at the perfect times, this guy named Fisher and all these people with questionable connections, and they're just there right when this car is about to smack these people and all the rest of this garbage, the whole thing stinks, all right? Now, I got to cover this. Wolfgang Halbig from the Sandy Hook research stuff, very quiet lately. Court proceedings, okay, with this Lenny Posner character. You can find this on YouTube, folks. Leonard Posner versus Wolfgang Halbig. Pre-trial hearing 8/15/17. It's on YouTube. This guy's there in court, and the other side doesn't even show up. Okay, the Posner character. Okay, the Sandy Hook thing's not over, folks. Jones tried to distance himself from it, really pathetic fashion, when he should have doubled down with Megyn Kelly and that whole thing. He really threw the Sandy Hook kind of truther movement under the bus, where he was very staunch in the beginning. And Pechenik, I got to give him credit. He's never backed off. Sandy Hook was a false flag. Fetzer, everybody that's done the heavy lifting, even Dr. Kevin Barrett and others. I mean, you see these people backing off Sandy Hook because they get a little pressure, and it's like, dude, this is the time when you need to stand strong. And it's just like right now. Look at this. This Arpaio thing has brought out the traitors in the Republican Party. Flake. McCain trying to throw Trump under the bus for pardoning Sheriff Joe? Are you kidding me? When he got the Marxist Bolsheviks sicked on him for doing his job? I mean, this shows you the red Republicans, these radical communist Republicans that pose as conservatives, but they're nothing but Bolsheviks as well. 1917, we're in 2017, folks. It's a 100-year anniversary of the Bolshevik Revolution. You know, Charlottesville happens on Soros's birthday. And there's a lot of seedy players here, and there's probably a lot of people that got involved that are not seedy, that were true believers, and they got sucked in. And so it's hard to differentiate. Now, Rex 84. This I didn't get to last week, okay? Rex 84, 1984. 33 years later, here's another 33. What year is it? 2017. Okay, so we're 33 years later than the Rex 84, basically, internment. It was really one of the beginnings of the internment and resettlement operations that was put out. This isn't in the Reagan administration. So we're 33 years after Rex 84, we're in 2017. We're in the 100-year anniversary of the Bolshevik Revolution, 1917 to 2017. Berkeley today, massive, goofy meltdowns, people getting beat up. Antifa. I mean, I don't know why anybody would want to go to Berkeley and have some sort of, and I know Berkeley has a history back from the 60s of the free speech movement and kind of, well, guess what? You're dealing with communists now. You're dealing with Marxist revolutionaries, Maoist revolutionaries. You're dealing with hardcore people. They're not hardcore people, but I'm saying ideologically hardcore people that think that all of a sudden this communism's cool. I guess they haven't done the research, or either that or they're like evil and they want to do another Red Terror here. I mean, I guess they're that twisted and jaded to the point where they haven't learned any lessons from the Holodomor, what happened to all the Christian priests and nuns in Russia with the torture, or what happened to the peasant farmers in China with the Maoist Cultural Revolution and so forth. I guess they think murder, mass murder at the millions level is cool. You know, I don't know. I got to talk about this. The Antifa manual that was found, and it's supposedly, you know, at the Evergreen University. It's got a coffee stain on it. It's got a squiggly line from a pen. Do not distribute to any cis white males, non-people of color, non-LGBTQ peoples, a.k.a. fascists. Okay? Now, a cis white male is somebody that actually you feel like you match the sex you were born with. So that's what cis is. You're cisgender. That means you're properly gendered, I guess. Or properly would probably trigger some person by I'm being evil and politically incorrect and misogynistic or whatever by saying cisgendered is the correct gender because I was born a male and I guess I feel like I'm a male. So we're all fascists, okay, according to the Antifa manual. Now, look, real or just satire? Definitely an interesting read, whatever it is. And so, look, you can find the Antifa Evergreen manual online, and I'm looking at it. And let me just say, it is the mind of these buffoons, but I don't know if the author, this is real or not. I think it could be somebody getting a kick out of the retardation of the Antifa movement and how just absurd it is. Or it really is a mind into, let's just say, what we're dealing with ideologically. I don't know. I Ken saying he leans towards sarcasm. So, you know, some people snatch this up and are like, oh, my God, this is the Antifa manual. And this is how evil our enemy is. Well, I mean, I realize that this is pretty much the mainstream of what they're thinking, but I'm saying the authorship, it's too funny almost. Ken saying, yeah, but it's a trip to watch it. Hey, Mr. Producer, get clip 11 ready. The UN Civil War warning. We got to play that. Go ahead and hit that whenever it queues up. But, you know, the UN's warning. Oh, my God, the Americans are facing civil unrest. This world communist body warning us early. Whenever you want. Go ahead. Hit it.
We have the United Nations issuing this ultra rare early warning. This is how they're dubbing it. And they're saying this signals potential civil chaos, civil war, civil conflict, however you want to see it, in this country. They're stating this after citing alarming racist trends, is what they're saying. And I'm here to tell you that all these individuals are in on this world stage, in creating this chaos in this country. You go back to sleep, feed back into the BS, go watch your mainstream media that is a part of this too. It's all tied in together. Your Soros, your mainstream media, the dark hand behind the scene that pulls off all the false flag events connected with all the alphabet gangs. Do you see who is running the show now? People just fall back asleep. Left-right paradigm. Blue-red. Democrat-Republican. Alt-left, alt-right. Just let them keep labeling you. It's ridiculous. And keep dividing you. So, what I have noticed is that this is being orchestrated with hundreds, maybe thousands, few thousand people at these events for the staged ones. I know some of the other bigger protests, they draw larger numbers. But for the most part, it's not millions. It's not hundreds of millions, which is what is out here watching. There's hundreds of millions of people out here watching this circus, this small circus, the small orchestration being carried out that none of you are a part of. And I know you see it. You better see it. Because now the UN's calling for this warning. They're saying last time they put out these early warnings, it was in Burundi, Iraq, the Ivory Coast, Nigeria, places like that, where following the warning, all hell broke loose.
Ah, go ahead and stop
now,
it there.
Now, we know in this country...
Go ahead and stop it there. Very interesting. So, look, we know who runs the UN. It's basically the controlled, occupied papacy. Okay, the Zio-penetrated papacy controls the UN. And look, I grew up in Italian mother, Roman Catholic, Vatican II, the whole nine. But I realize that who controls the UN, it's basically Jewish mafia bankers, and it's the papacy. All right, now, Mr. Producer, get clip 10. Let's hit this. This is very interesting, too. Warrantless searches, private property, right around in the D.C. metro area. Go ahead and hit that one.
This is Dabu 7. This is a big-time heads-up and something they've done once again while the American people are not paying attention. They quietly slipped this bill out. This was passed with overwhelming support by your United States Congress that has sold you out, and it was signed into law by President Trump. And all this happened with no media coverage and very little attention. As you can see here, we had Justin Amash tweeting out that only five people in your Congress went against this bill. And on the surface, it seems like, okay, it may just be another bill dealing with transportation. But what this says in the fine print is something totally different. Like I said, on the surface, this House Joint Resolution 76 looks harmless. The title of the bill claims that its purpose is granting the consent and approval of Congress for the Commonwealth of Virginia, the state of Maryland, and the District of Columbia to enter into a compact that keeps them tied together as far as safety. Now, this is what they're doing. They're saying that the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority is going to be given the powers because so many people travel on their train systems. This is what they're saying. Through these jurisdictions, they have buried and hidden inside of this where it goes on to state that the powers given to this Washington Metro Rail Safety Commission basically violates the basic tenets of your U.S. Constitution. It says, in performing its duties, this commission, through its board and designated employees or agents, may enter upon any property that is adjacent or near their train lines. And this is included without any limitation. This is including property owned and occupied by the federal government, by residents. And they can do this for inspections, investigations, examinations, for testing. They can do all this. And such entry shall not be deemed a trespass.
Nice. All right. You can stop it there, Mr. Producer. How you like it now? So if you live up, butted up next to the line of the metro, you can have some goons kick your house in anytime they want. Huh? And it's not a trespass. Hey, Mr. Producer, have clip 25 ready. This is the latest, basically, from Jones with Doug Hagman from the Hagman and Hagman Report, which is from Steve Quayle kind of sector. Very interesting. But listen, this is the over the top where Jones is. And hey, look, I've got another article that I got to where was that? Okay, I got it. The groups, the left-wing groups, but I'm gonna play this clip, Mr. Producer 25, and then I'm going to get into some of these groups. One of them's called Redneck Revolt. And look, Rockstar Revolt is a flavor of the Rockstar beverage company. I flipped out when they named that. And now you got this group called Redneck Revolt. And look, I've been my show's been around for like 3 years now. And so now I'm seeing all these RRs, the Redneck Revolt thing going on, Rockstar Revolt. I'm like, you know, and I'm not being a megalomaniacal type here. Am I like, do I need to change my name or something because this is getting too goofy? But let's do clip 25.
Roger Stone's riding the shotgun with us via phone this hour. So is Doug Hagman of HagmanandHagman.com, syndicated talk show host, police trainer. Runs a big successful private investigator firm. He followed the Veritas model last year, got his people in to a lot of key positions, and now his investigators liaison with law enforcement, obviously, but you're not supposed to go directly with law enforcement because they get in trouble, so they go through the former law enforcement to give us the intel. They are in the meetings in San Francisco, you name it, and what they're saying internally mirrors people like Maxine Waters last night in a speech saying, we're coming for you, we're bringing you down, Trump. And they're in the news saying, we're going to kill Trump supporters. We're going to hashtag hunt Republicans. And we've got the briefing here from our sources, law enforcement, military, and investigators, how they're going to target civilian members of the pro-Trump communities for death. Judges, lawyers, members of Congress. You already saw Scalise. They're going to target white peace officers on site. They're going to go out and just shoot as many white cops. That was only a test, the hundreds of dead cops you've seen in the last few years. We're talking hundreds a day. They're just going to slaughter them en masse. And then after all of that, they're bringing in instruction on firearms, self-defense, and counter-surveillance, anti-police workshops, self-defense workshops, weapons procurement, and handling. No one in the hundreds of years of combined research from the people he's talked to have seen anything like this. They say this is the Weathermen 2.0. And they talk about the weathermen and those bombings of police, military, universities that have military training, you name it. So we're going to ride shotgun, but people just joined us. Doug Hagman, recap the magnitude. I mean, we basically confirmed, hell, they're in the news. People say, why? You never announce a military attack. Well, yeah, you do if you're trying to get your people confident to go out and dump the chlorine gas down the, you know, the air conditioning system of the high rises, as we know they're training to do. I mean, they want mass death. They want total confusion. They want capitulation. Dead cops everywhere. The National Guard systems hit. Army, Navy, Marine Corps recruiting centers hit. Churches hit. Conservatives hit. Members of Congress hit. They plan when this rushes for their October surprise, their October Bolshevik 100 years later, they plan on my intel on killing thousands in the first few days, to then have us sue for peace, agree to remove Trump, and then when they get central control and, quote, new elections, we never have new elections again, COG, then they start killing everybody. All the leadership will start getting arrested, getting killed. Now, because they admitted this in Atlantic Monthly, this is their COG plan. I've been briefed by folks that have seen classified versions of Valkyrie from Germany, but also systems here that were floated in the 80s, they had congressional hearings on. They're planning to use Nuremberg's study of that plan, but actually against us. So a Bolshevik revolution meets Operation Valkyrie against the American people. Doug Hagman, recap. Then we're going to Roger Stone.
Right, so now you get you can stop it there. So that was the like pimp level doom horn from hell from Jones. That was like Friday. I mean, look, it could happen. I've read this stuff for years since I was, you know, in my 20s when I got jolted out of my stupor and I realized something was wrong and I joined John Birch Society and I read all the anti-communist stuff and I realized that these communists are devils and they like whacking people and killing, you know, millions of people. But at the same time, I mean, this is a tough one, man. And you see the chess pieces being splayed out here. And you know, I don't want to have to go to war with these commies. But at the same time, I realize that if they're zombied up on drugs and propaganda and hype and everything else, what alternative do you have? I mean, are you going to let them just run roughshod over your communities and put us into a red terror? Or, I mean, the secret police, disappearances at night, all the things Solzhenitsyn talked about. You know, if we would have just stood up at the right time, none of this would have happened with our clubs and our golf clubs and bats. They'd already been disarmed. I mean, we're not disarmed yet, folks. I mean, I mean, I'm just glad that my freaking signal's cool tonight. Last week, Ken and I we were pulling our hair out for an hour and a half trying to get on the air. But I'm like, none of us want to have to do what's probably coming our way, thanks to the whack job 5G Skinnerian Pavlovian controllers that have done this to our fellow man. But at the same time, are you going to let them? I mean, are you going to let the zombie hordes, you know, overrun your community? It's a real pain in the ass to think about this stuff, and nobody wants to have to. I mean, most of our people are out here. They're still worried about the McGregor and Mayweather fight last night, and they're still talking about that. You know, I mean, it's just crazy. Let's get clip 16 together, Mr. Producer. Newsbud just put this out, 9/11 conference, Corbett, Sybil Edmonds, and others. Let's play that real quick to plug that. Clip 16.
16 years after the tragic events of 9/11.
There are known knowns.
I said, well, there's one terrible pilot.
Billions of people remain misinformed and misled.
But there are also unknown unknowns.
The president knew.
Failure of imagination.
Dry anthrax.
It's time to revive a real and legitimate 9/11 truth movement.
A lot of evidence.
A radical network of terror.
Iraq's weapons of mass destruction.
We did capture Bin Laden.
Those weapons of mass destruction got to be somewhere.
Newsbud presents the first annual 9/11 Activist Summit. Titans of Truth. FBI whistleblower on 9/11, who became the most classified person in U.S. history.
Sybil is an Iranian-born former FBI translator who's been fighting for years to tell her story.
The founder of the National Security Whistleblowers Coalition.
Everything involving my case and my allegations were considered state secrets.
A Newman's Own First Amendment Award recipient who refused to be silenced on 9/11.
So we have certain diplomatic relations that prevents criminals being, you know, prosecuted here.
The founder and editor of Newsbud, Sybil Edmonds. Internationally recognized investigative journalist and a 9/11 activist who's been at the forefront of the truth movement for 10 years, with over 40 million views on YouTube alone.
There are any number of questions that need to be answered about what took place that day that point to many different, perhaps complementary explanations for some of the unresolved issues of 9/11.
The creator of the brilliant 9/11 in 5 Minutes video.
Some guy in a suit in an office hundreds of miles away had decided that I didn't need to know that information.
Producer of the Corbett Report, James Corbett. The only U.S. congresswoman who had the guts to question the official narrative, making a stand for 9/11 truth.
I thought that my office was promised a written response to my question regarding the four war games on September 11th.
Later, introducing articles of impeachment for President Bush, Vice President Cheney, and Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice.
There is a very real disconnect between our values and the values of the special interest.
A six-term Congresswoman, Cynthia McKinney. A Navy veteran who has worked with the State Department and the National Security Agency, specializing in intelligence and international affairs.
The Federal Contract Research Centers have generated paper after paper on what they see as the future for the United States.
Investigative journalist, author, and publisher of Madsen Report, Wayne Madsen. an award-winning investigative journalist and internationally acclaimed best-selling author. His work has been published in 64 countries and translated into 41 languages.
The political juggernaut actually manipulates your emotions and how all of these things are being put in the consensus.
The man who exposed the Bilderberg Group, Daniel Estulin. Plus, two distinguished surprise guests from the 9/11 whistleblowers and scholars community. Hosted by NewsBuds executive producer and 9/11 activist Spiro Skouras. The first annual 9/11 Activist Summit, Titans of Truth, is a NewsBud production.
Live. All right, you can stop it there. You can stop it there. That's next month, folks, September 10th. And so keep track of NewsBud. This is interesting. So you got a couple unnamed people. I wonder if one of them's Bolin or the other one is Fetzer. Fetzer was head of scholars for 9/11 Truth, so could be Fetzer or Bolin. Hopefully, it's both of those two, or it could be Barrett. Any one of those three would be good because they're going to push the Kosher Nostra angle heavy. Estulin, Corbett, Sibel. You might get a kind of slightly kosherized versions, throwing the alphabet agencies under the bus and not the Mossad so much. Madsen, he wrote the book, I think it's The Sword and the Star, or The Star and the Sword, which really gets into the Israeli-Saudi axis here with 9/11. And if you notice, Madsen was working with Jones over at InfoWars, and I have not seen any activity with Madsen anymore with Jones. So there's probably some sort of falling out there, and it's probably over issues such as these. Madsen's been pretty hardcore giving the Israeli mob their due, let's say, diligence and their due, the brunt of his research. And so I don't know if he's clicked up with Jones anymore. If you remember when Scalia was hit down there at the Cibolo Creek Ranch with this Mr. Poindexter at this little kind of desert bohemian grove type atmosphere, Madsen and David Knight and Joe Biggs and all of them were involved together. Madsen since has been a ghost from the InfoWar scene, which is quite fascinating. So I guess Madsen was probably ousted because he didn't want to play around with the kosherized version of events. Now let's talk about this real quick, and I'm not going to keep Ken too much longer. He's probably like, damn it, Robert, let's get out of here. I'm done. But anyway, get clip three ready, Mr. Producer. Now this is by this guy, kind of a Bible prophecy, Jewish Protestant, kind of evangelical, almost like a John Hagee level, but he really throws the Vatican under the bus. This is from his YouTube, Israeli News Live, and Jewish guy, but he's kind of evangelical Christian for real. So he plays up his Jewishness, but at the same time, he's Christian. It's kind of like these messianic types, okay? But I wanted to – he brings up a point which I want to hit home to the audience. So let's do clip three.
When I say these things, as I said before, this is nothing against the Catholic people whatsoever, not even against the Catholic Church. This is specifically dealing with a bad egg in there that is trying to manufacture prophecy in the Middle East, trying to fake a millennial reign, if you will, trying to bring about the destruction of Damascus, trying to lead the world's militaries, the deep state of the United States and as well as the NATO forces, into a battle in the Middle East to make prophecy fulfill the way that they think it should fulfill, as well as manipulating the Palestinian people and bringing about a two-state solution so that Jerusalem can be handed over according to the 1947 mandate that was supposed to be a UN resolution that was going to make Jerusalem an international city that would give the Vatican the right to control that. Also, in the Oslo Accords of 1993-1994, we find out through different journalists such as Joel Bannerman, Barry Chomish, and others that have revealed that the Vatican was doing exactly that, trying to get control of the old city of Jerusalem. That is still going to come to pass. The Palestinians will get East Jerusalem. The Jews will get West Jerusalem. That was already decided back in 93-94. So it's no big thing when we hear President Trump say that the Jews, he believes that West Jerusalem is their capital. Well, that's exactly what Rome said too. So we're only piping what the piper has already said to pipe, I guess. Anyway, so we look at the Arch of Baal here. The New York Times, October 5th, 2015, the article here that came out, ISIS destroys the Arch of Baal inside of Palmyra. Not only the arch, but also some of the temples as well. Nothing unusual, though. I cannot help but wonder if there's not some collaboration going on there. Why, you might say? Because Rome, and we're not talking about the Vatican in this case here, but Rome historically, the Roman Empire, was always known for erecting arches everywhere they conquered. No different was the Arch of Baal when it was put inside of Palmyra, Syria, or Assyria back in those days there. So I think that this arch was destroyed intentionally and may have been done so in collaboration to be able to justify making a prototype. Because isn't it ironic how that the prototype keeps appearing in all the different cities around the world here recently, especially important cities where world events go on? Dubai, Italy, London, New York, and the United States. Wherever that arch appears, Rome is conquering. I cannot help but wonder if we don't have a revived Roman Empire, such as we also had back during Rome under Titus's reign when he conquered Jerusalem with the help of the Assyrian military, and some tried to put the blame on the Assyrians at the time for the destruction of the temple. Well, they did have their hand in it, and I think Obadiah also recognized that as well when Obadiah says about Esau, he blames it on Esau, but we know he's talking about Titus, the Roman general. He said, "You stood as if you were one of them."
All right, go ahead and stop it there. So there was a lot right there. If you're an eschatologist, Bible prophecy kind of nut like me. So the arches, I've covered this, okay? Numerous times in the last few months, they appear where they have these little world government type, you know, meetings like in Dubai. Then they put them up in cultural places like New York City and other places in Italy and so forth. But they do them with the sequence of meetings, but then they also throw them up in cultural places. Very fascinating. You know, this whole thing with the Jesuits and the power of the Vatican and then over Jerusalem, okay? Now, I've been reading a lot of reports on various places that there's this pressure by the Israeli government, okay, pushing the Orthodox Church, not the, you know, you had the Great Schism, folks, okay? Vatican and the Eastern Church, okay, the Byzantine Empire. The Great Schism happened in the 11th century, where it was a break apart between the Orthodox Church and the Catholic Church. So basically, I'm reading about all these reports of the Israeli government pushing the Orthodox to sell all their property in Jerusalem and parts of Israel. Now, if you get into Shimon Peres and his relationship with Rome, it's always been real crazy. It goes back, it goes heavy into Bill Clinton with Yitzhak Rabin shaking hands with Arafat, and then Shimon Peres is in the background. A lot of people really connect Shimon Peres and Rome at the hip. And so pushing the the Orthodox out, and the Vatican really in the ascendancy of taking over a lot of the properties, especially the Christian properties and so forth. And then the designs of Rome on Jerusalem and so forth. And it's just interesting to keep your eye on. And then you get into the arches. this shadowy Daesh ISIS group destroys the Arch of Palmyra, but then this crazy kind of institute starts building replicas and putting them up all over the world. Very, very interesting at this time period. So I wanted to get that out there because there is this thought in this group of thinkers out here that say, okay, there's people using the Bible and the scriptural prophecies to kind of mind screw the population, mark of the beast, world government, all these things to basically make like force by their own will and by their own political and economic power, force prophecies to come to pass. Let's say on their own without the event organically happening, but them synthetically doing it to basically run psi warfare on believers, okay, especially Christian believers, okay? So you got these dark occultic turds in the background saying, yeah, let's use the Bible. It's like it's double-edged sword, like it talks about, where we're going to use it for evil. And so we're going to use the prophecies and all the people that are watching the prophecies against them. And so we're going to do wickedly, but we're going to use our knowledge of the eschatological sequence of events to control people in an evil fashion rather than saying, hey, the prophecies are happening, look at blah blah blah. No, it's like we're controlling them. We're using them to our advantage. It's like this Sun Tzu art of war type thing. And so you got to look at the Bible prophecies with a couple different angles and say, look, they seem to be happening, but are these nefarious characters with billions and trillions of fiat currency kind of dollars in the background saying, we're going to make it look like this one or this one or this one's being fulfilled, and they're really not necessarily. Or here's another one. God already knew that these jerks were going to act like this in the end times. And guess what? He wrote the prophecies because he knew that they were going to be, I mean, that you're getting Matrix Terminator level when you start thinking like that, where it's like, look, God knew that the evil ones on the planet in 2016 or 17 were going to have the power to manipulate events to make it look like the Bible prophecies were coming true. So he inspired the prophets to write it like that in the first place. And that's where I'm about to pop probably 100 of your minds out here. But this is the way my mind works. And so that's why a lot of you guys like listen to the program, because I go there on a level where a lot of people are not ready. But it's like, okay, it's like when you look at when you look at history and all that, it's just like, okay, the person that knew history and wrote it down beforehand, he knew how everybody was going to act in kind of a mathematical fashion. So it's like, okay, well, history's happening, and this is the way it's going to look. And I'm not saying I was the one doing it to make it happen like that. There's a lot of evil ones that are out here doing their little evil machinations, and this is why all this evil stuff happened. And so you got to look at it like that. It's just fascinating to check that out. Let's see here. Clip 21, Mr. Producer, get it ready. They're trying to connect the North Korean regime with Syria, trying to say, and Pat Privilege, I want to thank you for reminding me of this. I saw this, but it wasn't in my frame of reference tonight. And so Pat, thanks for bringing that back up. This little mind screw of, oh my God, the evil North Koreans are trying to send the Syrians chemical weapons, when we know all these chemical weapons attacks thus far have been by, you know, the Wahhabis, the Turks, or whoever, and it wasn't the Syrians. But let's do clip 21, Mr. Producer.
So, speaking of truth music, question mark, did you hear? Terrence Southern is about to unleash the first AI-composed album.
That's 20, Mr.
Producer.
Hold on.
Yes, that's right.
Let me see here. Let's do 21. That's the AI stuff. Yeah, there you go.
A United Nations report says shipments between North Korea and the Syrian agency responsible for chemical weapons have been intercepted. The confidential report was written by a panel of UN experts and seen by Reuters news agency on August 21st. According to Reuters, the panel is investigating chemical, ballistic missile, and conventional arms cooperation between Syria and North Korea.
The report said
two states intercepted shipments from the Korea Mining Development Trading Corporation, which is blacklisted by the UN and believed to be the North's main arms dealer. The shipments were destined for two Syrian companies believed by the United States and European Union to be fronts for Syria's Scientific Studies and Research Center. The SSRC is responsible for Syria's chemical weapons program, among others. Syria agreed to destroy its chemical weapons in a 2013 deal. However, there have been chemical attacks since then blamed on the Syrian government. For United News International, I'm Matt Paul.
All right, go ahead and stop it there, Mr. Producer. So so Reuters, Rothschild Reuters is involved. This is their report. And then the UN, right? They're saying that the UN and Reuters, Rothschild Reuters, the keepers of the papal treasury, the Jewish mafia, money changers in the Bible. These are the characters saying that now North Korea and Syria, oh my gosh, North Korea sending Syria chemical weapons. The two countries that, for some reason, our government, well, the deep state, the sickos, want to attack. Don't you find that amazing, folks? Don't you find that just a little bit too crazy? Let's listen to this one. Clip 15, Mr. Producer. This is Luke over at We Are Changed. Luke Radowski, one of Jones's kind of early sycophants, Jewish kid out of New York. But this is about Jared Kushner. Let's do clip 15 real quick.
So this is going to be a very important video because the troubling signs that I'm seeing will soon affect all of us. There's an unholy alliance right now that is up to no good, that are not only beating the drums for war, but are preparing for it. And in this video, I'm going to tell you about some of the key players here and what is really happening away from the false narratives that is being painted to you by government and mainstream media warmongers that obviously have a clear agenda. And of course, this revolves around the latest news of Donald Trump just sending his son in law and senior White House advisor Jared Kushner to the Middle East, especially Israel, to supposedly, quote, help broker a peace deal. There's a bigger story here that you're not being told, and it's not to just restart peace talks between the Israelis and the Palestinians. There's a lot more to the story that I will explain soon. It's important to note here that Jared Kushner is also meeting with the leaders of Qatar and Saudi Arabia, that he's doing this in consolidation with H.R. McMaster, Donald Trump's national security advisor, that has been described as a total globalist. Now, the meeting between Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu and Kushner just happened moments ago, and Kushner is coming out of the meeting saying that Israeli-U.S. ties are stronger than ever, and that Donald Trump is fully committed towards, quote, finding Mideast peace. But in reality, there's a bigger agenda here. Interestingly enough, news outlets were even banned from filming Jared Kushner during his visit to Israel. Reporters even had their SD cards taken away from them, and that could be because, just as this meeting is happening about these supposed peace efforts, the Prime Minister of Israel just announced that he will begin construction on the first new Israeli settlement in 25 years. Israel also just hours ago destroyed Palestinian classrooms that were donated by the international community and NGOs and destroyed them to the ground on the first day of school. And these bold moves by Israel show the international community that the chance of these peace talks working are very unlikely. And another clear factor why these peace talks won't work is the very fact that Jared Kushner is coming from a very biased perspective. The Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu was actually friends with Jared Kushner's father, who was a real estate developer and donor to Israeli causes, and Netanyahu even stayed in Kushner's home in New Jersey, sleeping in Jared's bedroom, and forcing Jared Kushner, who was 17 at the time, to move to the basement that night. It's also interesting to note that Kushner's dad, who was close friends with Netanyahu, also pleaded guilty to 18 counts of making illegal campaign contributions, tax evasion, and witness tampering that sent him to jail for over 2 years. Jared Kushner also has business ties.
By Chris Christie, by the way. Go ahead, Mr.
And if that doesn't show a clear bias, I don't know what does. Jared Kushner also is close friends with and parties with people like Chuck Schumer, the Koch brothers, and Soros at the Hamptons. They actually
you can stop
official...
it there. You can stop it there. It's interesting. Now, I'm going to close the program with this. This is on All News Pipeline. Talking about the groups here in this the synthetic AstroTurf Bolshevik revolution. There's no doubt that the rioting, violence, and attacks against peaceful rallies, turning them into free-for-alls, falls directly under that federal legal definition of domestic terrorism, and that groups such as official Antifa groups that use Antifa in their name encourage in a violent uprising, specifically stating they plan to use violence in order to shut down a rally, an event, or a free speech protest.